we present great stories from around the globe by some of the world's favorite writers in Springbok Library of the Air.
The Friedrich Weber was a freighter sailing regularly from Hamburg to Cartagena on the Colombian coast, touching on the way at a number of islands in the West Indies. She carried phosphates and cement from Germany and took back coffee or timber or anything else that offered the opportunity to earn an honest penny. She also carried passengers.
Will you pass the cruet, please, Captain?
Certainly, Miss Reed.
Thank you.
Miss Reed had been one of several passengers on the outward trip, but one by one they had dispersed in the various ports of call along the way. Now she was the only one. The captain, the first mate, and the doctor invited her to join them at their table. What else could they do?
I hope you will not feel embarrassed alone with so many men, Miss Reed.
I'm a woman of the world, Captain. I always think if a lady is a lady, gentlemen will be gentlemen.
We're only rough sailormen, madam. You mustn't expect too much.
Kind hearts are more than coronets, and simple faith more than Norman blood, Captain.
Huh? Norman?
It's a saying we have in England, a sort of a proverb. You have proverbs in Germany, don't you, Doctor?
One or two, Miss Reed.
Though I suppose it's really more of a saying. You have sayings in Germany, too, I expect, like home sweet home. I have home sweet home in pokerwork on the wall of my little tea shop back in England. Ah. It's such a pretty little place, by a little harbour. And I like to think of the people as guests, not customers.
The English light tea, do they not? This is why we have given you some.
Well, it was a kind thought, Hans, but I think I must give your steward a little lesson in making tea. It's quite an art, you know.
Ah, yes, the tea ceremony.
No, Doctor, that's Japanese and something quite different. No, in England, we simply have several little rules, that's all. Take the pot to the kettle, never take the kettle to the pot. That's rule number one. Rule number two is to do with the number of spoonfuls of tea you must use. One for each person and one for the pot. Quite simple. In the north of England, of course, they like to warm the pot for a full minute before they add the tea. Personally, I think that is going a little too far. But you know what they say. When in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Peace at last.
She's asleep?
All is silent. She must be asleep.
You're ungrateful, Hans. As the good lady herself says, travel is an education. You can't claim that you've received no education on this trip. You've learned how tea is made in every town and district in the British Isles. You've heard about the theory and practice of poker work.
Poker work.
And the reasons the British royal family have avoided the scourge of haemophilia. We've learned that in England the Dachshund is wittily known as the German sausage dog. And the German shepherd dog is quaintly thought to come from Alsatia.
We have also learned many striking sayings from the English tongue. Mm. We have learned that practice makes perfect, and that enough is as good as a feast. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
There is no fool like an old fool.
Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Many hands make light work.
Oh, what a bore. What a bore that woman is.
You have found the mot juste, Captain. Right word for the right occasion. You have hit the nail on the head.
She's a bore. She's a bore. A crashing, thumping bore. Before this trip is over, I swear I shall kill her. I shall throw her into the sea.
Oh, are you having a sing-song?
Yes, Miss Reed, a sort of sing-song.
I was walking on deck and it sounded so lovely. Wagner, wasn't it? You have a fine voice, Captain.
Thank you, madam.
But then the Germans are naturally musical. You'll be having songs and hymns, I expect, for your New Year's Eve party.
What?
I'm so looking forward to it. What is it you call it, New Year's Eve?
Sylvester Arben.
That's right. Sylvester Arben. Such a pretty name. And you will have a tree, I expect.
Yes, we have brought one with us.
We have our trees in England at Christmas, you know, not the New Year. It was Albert, Queen Victoria's husband, who brought the idea over with him. He was a German, to begin with. A very clever man. The great exhibition was his idea. People from all over the world came to London to see it. They built a great palace of glass in Hyde Park. And then they moved it to Sydenham, you know. Such a pity. Are you talking German? No. I won't have you saying things I can't understand. You ought all to make the most of your good luck in having me all to yourselves, and use the opportunity to practice your English.
We were talking of technical matters that would only bore you, Miss Reeves.
I'm never bored. That's why, if you won't think me just a wee bit conceited to say so, I'm never boring. You see, I like to know things, and when I know them, I like to pass them on. Everything interests me, everything. And you never know when a bit of information will come in useful. Besides, if you're interested in everyone, everyone will be interested in you. That's what I always say. That's why I love to travel. Travel is a wonderful education.
Yes.
What is that you men are drinking?
A sort of cocktail.
Will you have one, Miss Reeves?
Oh, no, thank you. Not that I have anything against spirits. In moderation, of course. Live and let live is what I always say. I shall certainly allow myself a little drink on Sylvester Arbend to see the new year in. I hope your songs won't all be in German. There are some nice songs in English, too, you know.
So I believe.
Well, it's long past time for my beauty sleep. I shall love you and leave you. Early to bed, early to rise, you know. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Love you and leave you. What did she mean?
Another of her English sayings, tea shop talk.
Gentlemen, this is getting beyond a joke.
Something must be done.
Well, there is no escape on a ship of this size.
Yeah, I pretended to have a headache yesterday. She insisted on coming to my cabin and sitting by me. You doctors don't know how to look after yourselves, she said. All afternoon, the click, click, click of her knitting needles. Even when she's not talking, she's boring, boring, boring.
And she intends to join us at Sylvester Arbend.
That is what I meant, gentlemen, when I said this matter was getting beyond a joke. Sylvester Arbend. It's sacred.
Well, she'll spoil it for us, as sure as...
Eggs is eggs.
Eggs is eggs.
But what can we do? Short of throwing her overboard.
Trouble is, at heart, she's not a bad old soul at all. All she wants is a lover.
A lover? At her age?
Especially at her age. That inordinate loquacity, that passion for information, the lectures she gives, her endless fund of cliches, the way she goes on and on and on. It's all a sign of her clamoring virginity. A lover would bring her peace. Those jangled nerves of hers would relax. For an hour at least, she would have lived. The deep satisfaction which her being demands would travel through those exacerbated centers of speech, and we should have quiet.
You are jesting, of course, Doctor.
Perhaps.
Well, I'm not. I have great confidence in your powers of diagnosis. I believe your remedy to be well worth trying. And since you are a bachelor, it's clear that it's up to you to apply it.
Pardon me, Captain. It's my professional duty to prescribe remedies for the patients under my charge in this ship, but not to administer them personally. Besides, I am 50 years of age.
And I'm a married man with grown-up children. I'm old and fat and asthmatic. It is obvious that I cannot be expected to undertake a task of this kind. Well, nature cut me out for the role of husband and father, not for that of a lover.
Youth in these matters is essential.
Yes. And good looks are...
advantageous.
Sons! Excellent! Excellent. Hans is perfectly fitted for the job.
Me? Never.
Hans, you are tall, handsome, strong as a lion, brave and young.
Yeah.
We have 23 days more at sea before we reach Hamburg. Now, you wouldn't desert your trusted old captain in such an emergency, would you? Or let down your old friend, the doctor here?
Captain, you ask too much of me. No.
But Hans...
I have been married less than a year, and I love my wife. I can hardly wait to get back to Hamburg. She is yearning for me as I am yearning for her. I will not be unfaithful to her. Especially with Miss Reed.
Oh, she's not so bad.
No, people might even call her nice-looking. Well, she has a stupid face, of course, but her eyes are a pleasant color. Her skin is clear.
Yeah.
She's not too fat, and she's not too thin. Mm. She has her own teeth. Well, she can't be much more than 40.
No, Doctor, that is my final word.
Are we then to endure this woman's tongue for 23 more days? For 23 mortal days, must I give ear to her fatuous chatter? Must I, an old man, have my Sylvester Arbent, the jolly evening I was looking forward to so much, ruined and defiled by the unwelcome company of that intolerable virgin? And all because no one could be found to show a little gallantry, a little human kindness, a brief spark of charity to the needs of a lonely woman. I shall wreck the ship.
There's always the radio operator.
What did you say?
I said there's always the radio operator.
The radio operator! You have it! Steward!
Captain?
Tell the radio operator that I want him at once.
Very well, Captain.
Hans, may the 10,000 virgins of Cologne arise and call you blessed. It's an idea of genius. The man's perfect. Blue eyes, blonde hair, nice tan, oozing vitality. A perfect specimen of young Teutonic manhood. Come in.
Captain?
You see? Aryan to the tips of his toes. How old are you, boy?
21, Captain.
Married?
No, Captain.
Engaged? Walking out?
No, sir.
Good, good. Excellent.
Yes, excellent.
You know we have a female passenger on board?
Yes, sir.
Do you know her?
I've said good day to her when I've seen her on deck.
Splendid, splendid.
Splendid.
Hmm. Now, I believe you can help me and the company find a solution to a little problem we have.
I'd be honored to help, sir.
Hmm. Now, as you know, although this is a cargo boat and we carry valuable freight, we also take such passengers as we can get. And this is a branch of our business that the company is anxious to...
Encourage. Yes. Oh.
My instructions are to do everything possible to promote the happiness and comfort of all passengers. In this case, the only passenger.
Captain?
Miss Reed needs a lover.
Lover?
The doctor and I have come to the conclusion that you are well equipped to satisfy Miss Reed's requirements.
Yeah. Yes.
Me, sir?
Yes, you.
But she's old enough to be my mother.
That, at your age, is a matter of no consequence. She's a woman of the highest distinction, and allied to all the great families of England. If she were German, she would be a countess, at least.
Oh, at least.
That you should have been selected for this responsible position is an honor that you should greatly appreciate.
Yes.
Furthermore, your English is not so good, and this will give you an excellent opportunity to improve it.
Well, that, of course, is something to be thought of. I know I need much practice.
I assure you, there is no one better qualified to rehearse you in the English tongue.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. It's not often in this life that it's possible to combine pleasure with intellectual improvement.
Mm. You should congratulate yourself on your good fortune.
But if I may be allowed to ask the question, sir, why does Miss Reed want a lover? It
appears to be an old English custom for unmarried women of exalted rank to submit themselves to the embraces of a lover.
At this time of year?
At this time of year.
Yes.
The company is anxious that Miss Reed should be treated exactly as she would be on an English ship. And we trust that if she is satisfied with her aristocratic connections, she will be able to persuade many of her friends to take cruises on our ships.
Exactly.
Yes.
Well?
Sir, I must ask to be excused.
It is not a request I am making. It is an order. You will present yourself to Miss Reed in her cabin at 11 o'clock tonight.
What shall I do when I get there?
Do? Do? Do I have to tell you what to do? Simply act naturally.
Very well, sir. Thank you, sir.
And now, perhaps, gentlemen, we shall have some peace.
Sylvester Arben tomorrow. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm longing to see all your quaint little customs and ceremonies. You must explain them all to me as we go. We have some odd New Year customs in England too, of course. First footing. Have you heard of first footing? The first man over your threshold after midnight has struck must be dark. He must carry bread and salt and a lump of coal. One of the party usually has to do it to make quite sure. If the first man over your threshold is fair-haired, you see, you'll have bad luck for the rest of the year. It's only silly superstition, of course. Oh, that reminds me. Talking of fair-haired men on the threshold, I had such a funny experience last night. I don't understand it at all. I was just getting into bed when there was a knock at my door. Who is it? I said. It's the radio operator, said this voice. What is it? I said. And he said, can I speak to you? I popped on my dressing gown and opened the door. There was the radio operator. He looked at me in a strange sort of way and said, excuse me, miss, but do you want to send a radio telegraph? I felt like bursting out laughing. He looked so strange and serious. Thank you, young man, I said, but no, I don't think I do want to send a radio telegraph, but thank you so much for asking. And he turned and went away. Wasn't that odd?
He is young, Miss Reed. It was excess of zeal. I suppose he thought you might wish to send a New Year's greeting to your friends in England. And he wished you to get the full advantage of the special rate.
Excuse me, if you please. I have something I must do.
Oh, I don't mind at all. I love them, these odd little things that happen to one when one is travelling. I get a good laugh out of them. Do you?
You idiot! What in heaven's name made you ask Miss Reed if she wanted to send a radio telegraph?
Sir, you told me to act naturally. I'm a radio operator. I thought it natural to ask her if she wanted to send a radio telegraph.
When Siegfried saw Brunhilde on the rock waking from her age-long sleep, he didn't ask her if she wanted to send a radio telegraph?
No, sir.
I'll give you one more chance. Tonight. Remember, the honor of Germany is in your hands.
Is it?
The radio operator. I have a radio telegraph for you, Miss Reed.
For me? I'm in bed. Leave it outside the door.
It needs an answer, Miss Reed. 10 words, prepaid.
Oh, dear. I hope it's not bad news. Wait a moment. Slip it under the door, and I'll write the answer and slip it back to you. Oh, I can't find the light switch. Oh, please, please. Please let it not be bad news. Oh. Happy New Year, Stop. Peace and goodwill to all men, Stop. You are very beautiful, Stop. Signed, the radio operator. I think you'd better come in.
You are very quiet, Miss Reed.
Am I?
Are you not enjoying yourself?
Very much, thank you, Doctor.
You seemed pensive.
No.
Do you not have a saying in England, a penny for your thoughts?
Yes. I've always thought it a stupid saying. My thoughts are not worth anyone's money, I'm sure.
But surely...
If you'll excuse me, I think I'll go and help myself to some more of that delicious cake. I've quite an appetite this evening.
Ah, Miss Reed, allow me to help you.
Thank you.
The captain has a good loud voice, has he not?
Yes, he has.
He will finish soon and then we shall dance. Do you dance, Miss Reed? Perhaps you will dance with the radio operator. He is our best dancer.
The radio operator? Which is he? Gentlemen, gentlemen, please. It's my turn to contribute to the proceedings, I think. This won't take long. I'd like to give all the crew presents, but of course I couldn't possibly afford that. So, I'll just give these to my three table companions. The first mate.
Thank you.
The doctor.
Miss Reed.
And the dear captain.
Oh, how kind.
With my love and best wishes for a happy new year.
Great!
They're nothing much. Just a few little things I picked up in Port-au-Prince.
She must have spent the best part of 100 marks on these presents. I almost wish we'd left her alone. It doesn't seem natural, this quietness.
You wanted her silenced, and I silenced her.
Well, it wouldn't have hurt us to listen to her chatter for another week or so.
I begin to detect signs of shame and guilt in your attitude, gentlemen. This is not healthy. After all, we haven't done her any harm. And think what we have to look forward to. 3 weeks of perfect peace and quiet. Peace and quiet.
Well, all good things must come to an end, Miss Reed. Isn't that what they say in England?
Yes, they do.
We are very sorry to lose you, but I suppose you are glad to be home.
You've been so very kind to me, all of you. I don't know what I've done to deserve it. Oh, look, there's my friend, Miss Price, waiting on the quay. Hi. Oh, dear. I've been so happy with you. I shall never forget you.
May I kiss you, Miss Reed?
Of course you may, Captain.
Miss Reed.
Doctor.
Miss Reed.
Hans. What an old fool I am. Everybody's so good.
There she goes.
She has a kind heart, the English lady.
Yes.
She's waving back to us.
No, not to us. She is waving, I think, to the radio operator.
Look, he's smoking a new pipe.
I've never seen him smoke a pipe before.
Perhaps we may now ask him.
No. You may not be aware of it, Doctor, but I am a man of great delicacy.
I'm a man of heart myself.
Miss Reed's friend was waiting on the quay to welcome her. When they had passed the customs and got rid of Miss Reed's heavy luggage, they went to a nearby cafe to have a nice cup of tea.
And you didn't mind being with all those Germans?
No, not at all. Of course, they're not like English people. One has to get used to their ways. They sometimes do things that, well, English people wouldn't do, you know. But I always think that one has to take things as they come.
What sort of things do you mean?
Things of no importance, really. Just funny, unexpected, rather nice things. There's no doubt that travel is a wonderful education.
Listen again next week for another unforgettable story from our Springbok Library of the Air.